Hurricanes have been in the headlines lately, and it seems most people in vulnerable coastal areas are getting out as fast as they can. But not Ambrose Bason of Grand Isle, Louisiana. Writer Jake Halpern visited Bason at his Barrier Island home for this last installment of our series, Braving Home.
90 miles south of New Orleans, a narrow spit of land juts out into the Gulf of Mexico. This is Grand Isle, Louisiana's only inhabited barrier island. Grand Isle is home to roughly 1,400 people, most of whom pride themselves as Cajun. Longtime resident Ambrose Bason says he'll never leave Grand Isle, despite the constant threat of hurricanes and erosion. When I met Ambrose, he was shucking oysters in his backyard.
You see how you open these oysters? Put the knife right down the head of the oyster, twist a little bit, and put your thumb and hold it apart and cut the oyster on one side of the shell. And you cut it on the other side when you're ready to put it in the container. You eat the nut. If you'd go to New Orleans, Louisiana, at one of them oyster bars and all the oysters on the half shell, that's what you would get, this kind of oyster here. All my life, I always said I didn't want to be a rich man. I just wanted to live like one. And you can do that on Grand Isle. I get all the seafood I want. Soft-shell crabs, hard-shell crabs, shrimp, fish. We catch all that in the net. You can live off the land here. If you don't have $1, you're still going to live. You're going to go get oysters. You're going to go catch a fish. You're going to live. But when the hurricane season gets here from June on to October, then you always have to, you know, have to keep an eye out. The hurricane is the thing that the island people fear the most. They don't fear nothing else.
Today, as so often happens, there is a tropical storm entering the Gulf of Mexico. It is still too early to say whether it will head this way, but Ambrose and I decide to pay a visit to the beach and have a look. We stand on the island's levee, a man-made dune meant to protect Grand Isle from hurricanes.
You know they might have a little bad weather coming when you see the shore birds. You see them in bunches. See them down right at the edge? Look at them, right at the edge of the water. See the little birds going up and down the beach? When you see that around this time of year, they should be going. They should be migrating south.
What does that mean that they're still here?
Well, that means they're not going to travel any further because the weather's bad further on their migration route. So they're going to stick around for a while. And I'm sure they don't watch the Weather Channel. They know that. Now, if this storm out there right now, I don't know if they've named it yet. I haven't been keeping up with the news in the last couple of days. Comes this way, part of that levee will probably be gone. Of course, if we get the storm in Grand Isle, it'll be more than the levee gone, I'm sure. But
how far did this beach used to go out?
Oh, 200 feet from where we're standing now.
Did it go out to those rocks?
Not quite as far as those rocks are, but almost to them. And that's how much erosion on this part of the island. Our island is washing away, little by little.
From the beach, Ambrose and I stroll down a narrow tree-covered lane until we reach the town cemetery, which is lined with a series of above-ground cement tombs. Several of these tombs are buckled down to the earth with thick canvas belts called hurricane straps. In 1965, during Hurricane Betsy, these straps proved crucial.
Like I say, the worst one I've seen in my lifetime was Betsy.
Tell me what that was like for that storm.
Oh, I bet that was bad. It's even hard to explain what it was. When the storm, you could hear noises like a freight train blowing up or a bomb going off, and that was somebody's house. They even had horses that were flowing down the streets. People had horses around here. This tomb that you're looking at, that washed away in Betsy. We found those vaults a few days after Hurricane Betsy. One of them was approximately 30 miles from here. In fact, one of them was my little niece. Her body, that washed off.
How did your niece die?
She died. She was a twin, but the other child did never develop outside and more or less developed on her side.
So she was a Siamese twin?
Yeah, she was, right, correct. Hello. Y'all watch The Young and the Restless next week. Your Spanish interviewing me. I'm going to be on a series for a week.
Okay.
So y'all... That's all local. She's married to my nephew. Everybody's related here, more or less. And this one here is our family tomb. I'm the last one to go in there. That'll be the family. My family tomb. And that's the end of that.
As Ambrose and I stroll through the cemetery, we discuss the island's PDD, or projected date of disappearance, which is the technical term used by geologists. The simple fact of the matter is that Grand Isle, like all barrier islands, will at some point disappear.
I said one of these days, might not be in my lifetime, but all this will be washed away. This island will return to the sea. Where we stand now, me and you will be fishing redfish, if we're still alive. Sooner or later, it will go back.
Does that thought make you sad?
Yes, yeah, a place where you were born and raised, had all your whole life spent on this little island. It's a good living down here. But you get another Betsy over here, there won't be too much left. This island will be history.
Our Braving Home series was produced by Jake Halpern and Ted Gessing. It was based on Halpern's book, Braving Home, Dispatches from the Underwater Town, the Lavaside Inn, and other extreme locales. Go to our website, npr.org, to see pictures from Grand Isle.